Hashem, you have to make it 9:25 for the future. That's impossible. I did a vod, Baruch Hashem, and Darche. It finishes 8:47 and we'll run into my car. It's just the van wicks the van wick. So I'm ready to make it 9:25. For now on, Mr. Hashem, so we'll tell that Sam. Let's say Sam. You tell me Sam?
Tell him.
Okay. And welcome. Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Behold, he does not sleep. He does not get tired, the guardian of Israel. And although this is a pasuk that has been on our lips for many years, now it's on our lips all the time. And it's important to understand the language that's being said here. Hine, behold, behold. Whenever it says hine, it's a surprise. Surprise, hine. Example is this week's parasha. How do you like that? The hine baboiker, he lay off, right? He thought he's marrying Rachel. The hine, whoa! Surprise, surprise. Vihine, soimim bivitna. Behold, there were twins inside. She didn't know she's having twins. So many times we see the Torah where it says the word hine, and it's a language of surprise. We saw Reisman once explained that the same is true in this pasuk. There are times when a person is confused with what's going on around him. Hine, behold, even when it looks like things are out of control, you have to know, Hine, lo yonum v'lo yishan, Shomer Yisrael. The language of surprise is, even if it's not something that you fully understand or grasp, lo yonum v'lo yishan Shomer Yisrael, the principle will always remain true. On the mezuzah, it says, Shin, and Dalet, and Yud, Shakai. But it also stands for Shemer, Dalsois Yisrael. The fact that Hashem is guarding the doors of the Jewish people. Just last week, we all know, we all were privy to see with our own eyes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Shomer Yisrael. Sometimes we don't see it clearly, and sometimes we're zoicha to see it openly. A car filled with terrorists on the way, Hashem Yirachim, to make a massacre in Yerushalayim. And they were caught. Rabbi say, this is happening all the time, that Hashem is protecting us. We're just not always privy to it. Once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to see it, to understand what's really happening all the time. And the Goyim will be the first to agree. I'll prove it to you. It's a pasuk we said last week. Hallelujah, hallelujah, day Hashem. And then later on we say, hallelujah, Hashem. There used to be a song from the rabbi's son. Hallelujah, Hashem. You might remember that from the olden days. Well, you don't remember from the olden days. You might remember hearing about the olden days. the rabbi's son, the Baruch Sheitz Shlita. Hallelujah, Hashem, Kol Goyim, right? Shabbachu Kol Ha'umim. Why should the Goyim thank Hashem? Ki Gavar Aleinu Chazdoi. Because Hashem's kindness, His kindness, is overwhelming upon us. Why are the Goyim thanking Hashem for the kindness that Hashem does for us? What's pshat in those words? Hallelujah, is Hashem called Goyim? Ki gavar aleinu chasdai. To explain this, we'll bring out something beautiful from Reb Itzel of Elazhin, where he says on Yisrael, it says that Yisrael spoke in great praise of Hashem. Ato yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'Elohim. Now I know that Hashem is greater than all the gods. Why? Ki vadovar asher zodu aleihem. What did Yisrael see that made him realize Hashem's greatness? He saw Kriyas Yamsuf. What was so great about Kriyas Yamsuf? Ki vadovar asher zodu aleihem. What happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? They drowned the babies in the Nile. God didn't measure for measure. He was amazed at the measure for measure of Kriyas Yamsuf. There's something deeper here. The word Zodu means, if you look in the translation that's found in the Art Scroll, wanton, something like a wanton, wanton sinners. W-A-N-T-O-N. Wanton sinners. Mezidim, right? We said it, we say it in the kitchen, I'm going to say it in 2.5 weeks. What are we going to say? Zaydim biyad oiske sarasacha. Ki heizidu, we said this morning, we'll say it tomorrow morning, Mitzvah Hashem. Ki heizidu. They did zodim. What's the zodim? What is that? You see, when a guy has bad intentions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzarefet l'maisa. If a Jew has bad intentions, Hashem is not mitzarefet l'maisa. He doesn't make it into maisa unless you do it. By a guy, even if he just thinks about doing it, he wants to do it, Hashem considers it like he did. What's the biggest proof? Amen. Come on. Every single year, we're stamping, banging by Haman. Haman a rush, is he burning at him? Fire, right? What did he do? Nothing. No. What do you mean? He wanted to kill the whole Jewish people. Did he do it? He didn't do anything. Let him be off the hook. He didn't do anything. Peretz says, he wanted to. And he tried his utmost to do it. Machshava ra by a guy, it's like he did it. Now, Paroi and his advisors were talking about what they wanted to do to the Jewish people. We don't know half of what they wanted to do. You know who knows? Yisrael does. Yisrael was there. He was there. He knows what they wanted to do. Badavar asher zodu aleihem. The things that they really wanted to do to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzarefet l'maisa, as if they did it. Even though they didn't do everything they wanted to do. They did a lot. They did a lot of harm. But they didn't do everything they wanted to do. When he saw Kriyas Yamsuf, he saw a different Kriyas Yamsuf than we see. We saw amazing miracles. We saw Mida Keneged Mida of the fact that they drowned our children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu drowned them. There was so much more! Because Yisrael knew what they wanted to do. And they were being paid for that too. Mida Keneged Mida. He said, "Ati dati kadol Hashem mikol alayhim, ki vadover asher zodu aleihem, because they wanted to do so much evil. All of that evil got repaid in Kriyas Yamsuf. You don't know half of it." He was telling us in a way. You think you know what Hashem did in Kriyas Yamsuf? You don't know the half of it. The fact that they were drowning the lead, and some were going faster, some were going slower. We know some of it. There's so much more than meets the eye. Hallelu is Hashem kol goyim, the goyim praise Hashem. You know why? Ki gavar oleinu chazdoi. Because of all the kindness that Hashem is doing for us. Because we don't know half of it. They're finding now in the hospital, underneath, all different things. Rachman al-Tzlan, Hamas, Yimach Shemam, V'Zichram wanted to do. They're finding notebooks, they're finding plans that they wanted to do. Ki gavar aleinu chazdoi. Of course, Hashem Yirachem. In this particular scenario, Hashem Yirachem, HaKadosh Baruch, for reasons that we don't know, allowed a lot of their plans to come to fruition. But half of their plans, He did not. And we don't have any inkling to how many machshavos rois are taking place. Yom Malan Hashem Yirachem. Hinei, behold, Layamun Layishon Shemer Yisrael. He's Shemer Dalseis Yisrael. Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdoi. Because there is a divine protection called Hashkacha Proteus. Every single Yid has Hashkacha Proteus. Make no mistake about it. Every one of us. Every moment in our lives is being watched and guided and directed. Amechin mitzade gavar, Hashem is preparing the steps of men. That's what we say in davening. Elokeinu, our God. We're supposed to have in mind when you say Elokeinu, our God, the one who guards us with Hashkacha Pratis. You know how many times it says in Tanakh that Hashem is the God of Israel? 127, I believe, Reb Miller says. 127 times it repeats the fact that Hashem is Elokei Yisrael. Our God. Our God means that we have a divine protection. Boys were asking before, going back to Eretz Yisrael, should they go back? Well, guess what? I don't got the shoulders to answer that question. That's exactly what I told them. I definitely don't have a long enough beard, and it's definitely not white enough. So I said you have to ask somebody way bigger. Baruch Ata Adai Noi Oyehinu Melech HaOlam Shakol Nia B'Dvarei. Whoever brought these waters for me should be blessed forever. If you're looking for a shidduch, you should find a shidduch and every other thing that he wants. So when they asked the shaila, they were told that they should go. So then I said, okay. And the guy said, I'm scared. I said, you're scared? What are you scared of? I'm scared because it's a war. So listen to me. If it's Shchiach Sakana, a person's putting himself in a situation that's dangerous, you know how to put yourself in a situation that's dangerous and just say, don't worry, it's all going to be good. You know how to do that. Shchiach Sakana, you know how to put yourself into such a situation. If it's not Shchiach Sakana, then what are you afraid about? Every bullet has its address. Let me tell you a story I sent to this boy. True story. There was a young man who wasn't sure where he should go to yeshiva after high school. If he was ready first year, second year, ready after high school. And the Talmid Chacham came to his parents' house in Chicago and he said, you have to go learn in Chevron Yeshiva, which was in Chevron at the time. This is in 1929. And he said, yeah, back and forth. before Don Hoffman convinced the parents to send him. He was there in 1929, Parshas Akev, Rahman Litzlan, was the Chevron massacre, and this boy was killed. The Talmud Chacham that convinced his parents, you could imagine, couldn't face the parents. And he managed to divert it. He used to go to Chicago to collect money. He diverted their house. One time, he ended up bumping into them in the middle of the street. And he started crying. He said, I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? We cannot thank you enough. Thank me? Why are you thanking me? What do you mean? You don't think Hashem has a plan for every single person? You don't think his time was set exactly to that amount of years? He would have died in Chicago in a car accident. And because of you, he was zeicha to die al kiddush Hashem. Imagine the Amuna Shlema, the crystal clear perspective of Jews, that they understand that every single bullet has its address, every single person's life is exact. Ashkach of Pratius, we think he died because he was in heaven? No sheikhs! And now he was zeichet to die on Kiddush Hashem. That means to say that when we say those words, it's not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration, it's reality. I mentioned the story in Yeshiva. I don't know if you saw this video where Pinchas Landau speaking of every bullet has its address. But there's a story going around. He said, don't ask me, how do you know it's true? He said, I heard it from someone who was there, he heard it from a very close spot. Whether you believe the story, don't believe the story. It's a group of soldiers. Have you heard the story, right? That a group of soldiers were eating lunch in Gaza. When you eat lunch in Gaza, you have one hand on the sandwich and one hand on your gun. And there was a gunshot while they were eating. And they realized that one of them had by accident shot their gun. And they ran to see, you know, hoping that everything's okay. And sure enough, there was an Arab coming out of the tunnel. The bullet shot him between the eyes. Why is it shot him? That a reliable source, you could believe, you don't believe, it could happen for sure. Whether it happened, I can't tell you. The story, he said, just happened. The guy, the Arab, had an RPG, was ready to throw at the group of soldiers. And the accidental, quote-unquote, bullet had its address between the eyes. And then Miller explains, most parshias of the Torah, you'll notice, begin with what letter? Anybody know?
Vav.
Very good. You know, like when you hear about it, you're like, what? Nayach? You know, and you start thinking of the parshias, yeah? And look at them, it's wild. Mom of most parts of the why? Most parts of Tanakh, Vav. Why Vav? Vav means end. Vav is the shape of the letter, the shape of a hook. It's the shape, the letter is the shape of a hook. Because a Vav means that there is something that it's connected to. There's something before it and something after it. It's a connector letter. It's a connector letter. Vav moisiv al inyan rishon, Rashi says. It's coming to tell us, vit. It's coming to tell us that we're saying something happened before, and now it's continuing now. Meaning to say, if you look through history, starting from Bereshis, starting from the beginning, Beis, beginning is that of Vav, so there's nothing before it. Starting from Beis to the end of history, everything is connected. Everything is connected. That's why it always says, Acha, Dvar Ma'ila. After these things, then this happens. Why Why does it say Achar Dvar Meila? Because what happened now had something to do with what happened before. Because everything is connected in a chain of events that's called the beautiful tapestry of the master plan of history. If somebody reads the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotze. You know why? Since they're Meilach? Because if you read it backwards, then everything's haphazard. If you read it straight, then everything's in order. Because everything's in order. Everything is in order. And a person has to be mechazeh. I'm talking to myself as always. We have to mechazeh in emunah shleima that there's hashkacha pratis. When you walk in the street, you have to have emunah shleima. Not be afraid. I had a great grandmother. I have two stories to share with you. But before I tell you that, I had a great grandmother, Big Tzadikas. And she used to live in an area that was, let's just say, not so safe. And again, wasn't Shchiach Sakana, Mamish, but it wasn't the best of places. It was in the hood. And we asked her, like, aren't you afraid? She's like, afraid? I'm only afraid of Hashem. I'm only afraid of Hashem. You have to recognize the extent of Hashkacha Pratis. History is a symmetry. And we're part of that symmetry, by sight. Every one of our lives, every member in our families, every member in the Jewish people is part of the symmetry called Hashem's world. It's unbelievable. There's a story that took place many years ago. A story that took place on a boat called the Dunera. This boat was actually an English boat that the Jewish people were on. Many Jews were being saved on this boat. And this is a story brought in a sefer called The 25th Hour, if you have this book. And it's also, it was taken from a book called one of the Magid books from Rabbi Sakra. And I wrote that in there, don't worry. I mean, the person who wrote, yeah, okay. 25th Hour wrote that in there. This Dunera was in the ocean, and the Germans were fighting the English, and they tried to torpedo the boat. The English men on the boat were very nasty to the Jews. They got very mad at the fact that the Germans were torpedoing their boat. And they said, it's all the Jews' fault, the German Jews that were being saved on their boat. And they said, take all your belongings and throw it into the ocean. And the Jews were like, they were being saved. They were being saved from the Holocaust, and now all their memoirs, all their mementos, everything that they had was being thrown into the ocean. Nothing left, their candlesticks, everything gone. And for them it was a very dark day. They were saved, and all their stuff was gone. I think about 50 years later, they found the diary of a German soldier. True story. Who was on the German boat that was shooting at this English boat, the Dunera? And what's unbelievable is, he writes that he tried to torpedo this Dunera and he missed. He was about to try again and he sees these suitcases floating in the water. And they're like, what is that? He opens one of them and he sees German writing on some of the letters in there. He said, there are German passengers on this boat. We're Germans, we're not going to shoot this boat and kill our own. Let's wait till everyone gets dropped off, and as they take off again, we'll torpedo them. And that's what they did. And all the Jews in that boat were saved. And any of the English that went back into the ocean got torpedoed and destroyed by the Germans. 50 years later, the Jews realized, when this was revealed, that all that was happening that night was to save their lives. I'm going to tell you a personal story. that you almost won't believe, except this one happened to me. I have a schus, this is a T4 moment. I have a schus, the driver of Kaldetsky. Of Kaldetsky Shlita, that's the son-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky. Just in case you didn't know, I want to make sure that you understood the extent of the T4. Of Kaldetsky, thank you. Of Kaldetsky, one time I was picking him up in the airport, and I was bringing a cell phone for him. And I left my house, and I drove at 5 o'clock in the morning after another T4. 5 in the morning, I don't get up at 5 in the morning ever. Except to pick up a Kaldetsky. I'm driving there, I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot his cell phone. Go back to my house to find it. So I turn around, go back to my house, I'm coming down the block called New Haven around the corner of my house. Familiar with New Haven. And as I'm driving down New Haven, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? And I look to the right, there was a fence that was completely on fire. It's 5 in the morning, pitch dark, no one's around. There was a gate in front of my friend's house, completely ablaze. There's a bonfire. I'm like, that's not supposed to be there. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like watching the fire happen. I'm like, okay, what do I do? Fire department. I don't know how to call the fire department. Do you know? Okay, I don't know how to call the fire department. I'm embarrassed to tell you. That's not a T4 moment. But meanwhile, Schwarzer passes by and says, we gotta call the fire department. I said, And he said, let's do this. And I'm like, can you call? He's like, I'm gonna call. This guy's gonna call. You know, we have to wake up the family, my friend, the family. So, because the fire department, who knows how long it's gonna take. So I jump out of my car. Meanwhile, the Schwarzer, I have to give it to him, upstairs nefesh. He jumped around the blazing fire on top of the steps to knock on the door. They didn't hear the door. They heard me. I started screaming on top of my lungs, fire! My friend comes out the window and he says, what's going on? Like, there's a fire in front of your house. And he came down with his whole family. Baruch Hashem, they came outside. I thought, give me your kids, because I have to go around the side of the fence. Meanwhile, someone came out because they heard me screaming, the fire extinguisher, started spraying. It got half of it down. It was an electric fire. Whole story how it started. Some of it was arson. Never was crazy story. Half the fire went down, another fire extinguisher came, we put it all out, Chesed Hashem La'olam. Fire department, of course, came in after it was all out. And the family was there, I called Hatzalah, just, I don't know why you have to call Hatzalah, because that's what you do. Hatzalah came, they're helping the family, they're good, yes, you were good, everything was good. Baruch Hashem, everyone's okay. I'm like, hey, Mikhaldansky's waiting in the airport, right? I ran back home, ran to my house, cell phone, where's the cell phone? I'm running back to my car with no cell phone. I see by the garbage, I'd taken out the garbage in the morning. I actually dropped the cell phone there. Hashem made me drop the cell. So I turn around and see the fire. I'm not telling you a story that happened 100 years ago. The story happened last year. The story happened to me. Rabbi Sai, I made a Suda Sadra the next week. I got a kogel for it. See that? Baruch Hashem, I'm nothing to me though. Ridiculous woman getting a kogel. I did nothing. It was all Hashem. Hashkacha, Pratis, Hinei, Lo Yonun, the Lo Yishan, Shemer, Yisrael, which Yeshua has become. Worth